a series on Galatians for the summer. So we'll do 6 weeks. There's 6 chapters in the book. It'll be great. Has anyone read Galatians? I was like talking to a few of you about this sometimes. Okay. So we're going to be doing chapter 1 today. And I'm just going to read it like piece by piece and we'll break it down. But to give a little bit of context about around like Galatians and what it's about, it's one of Paul's letters. So Paul, if you don't know, was one of the kind of early Christians who he kind of helped start a lot of early churches right after Jesus' passing and resurrection. And he used to be actually someone who like persecuted Christians. Like he would literally like kill Christians and then was encountered by the Lord and became like arguably one of the most important like New Testament preachers. And so this is him writing to a couple of these churches that he started in the area of Galatia, which is kind of like where Turkey is now, like to give you a little geography. And he was writing about, basically, he was preaching the gospel to these people, and he left, and he finds out that they have been having these people called the Judaizers come in and spread a gospel, yeah, period, spread a gospel that is not the one that Jesus brings to us. They basically were kind of telling people, hey, like, it's great that you think Jesus died for your sins and, like, you have grace and all that, but actually there's all these things you have to do for Jesus to forgive you. And this is completely contrary to the gospel that actually exists. So Paul gets out his little pen and he writes this letter very angrily to the Galatians to correct this. And so that's kind of the where we're going to see Paul kind of as he begins this letter. Usually Paul's he's pretty gracious when he starts his letters. He's kind of like, oh, thank the Lord for you. He does not include that. This is the only letter where Paul literally doesn't even thank the people he's writing to. Like, he is just mad. He's upset. And we're going to dive into that. So starting in verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6. So he does this whole intro and then he says, I am astonished that you were so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so I now say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than the one that you accepted, let them be under God's curse. So, pretty harsh language he's using there. And essentially, it's kind of what we were just talking about. There's this other gospel being preached, and there's kind of, it can seem confusing because you're like, why would these people care? Like, genuinely, why would they go in and take the time and the effort to go and preach this gospel that isn't true? Because the word gospel translates to good news, right? And so you would think, like, you can't have two of the same good news. Like, they can't both be true at the same time. You can't be saved by grace and saved by works. Right, and so Paul's preaching this gospel of, hey, Jesus died for your sins, you're saved by grace, and these people are like, nah, you're saved by your works. And it brings trouble, but these people believe it. Like, these Galatians, they start doing these acts that they've been told to do. And a big reason that the gospel was so hard to believe to these early Christians was because it truly has nothing to do with us. Right, like the core of the gospel is that we achieve nothing by ourselves, right? That everything good we receive it rather than do it for ourselves. And so these Judaizers who are kind of coming in and preaching like, hey, works are going to be what saves you, they haven't been able to accept the humility that it is to like say, I can't do anything to earn salvation, to earn the goodness of the Lord to me, to earn what he's done on the cross. And this perversion of the gospel, which basically just means like using it in the wrong way, is coming out of a false idea of who God is. And a lot of you guys might have heard the phrase, like, God helps those who help themselves. Has anyone ever heard someone say that?
No.
Well, I just said it, so. God helps those who help themselves. That's essentially what these Judaizers are trying to convince the Galatians of, right? Like, God, sure, like, Jesus died on the cross, that's all great, whatever, but you still have to do these things for him to love you, for him to care for you. And the fact that this isn't true was very new to people, right? Because this is right after Jesus died. Like, we've known this truth our whole lives. We've had the whole Bible. But the Galatians, like, they're pretty new to receiving this gospel that is, hey, Jesus died for your sins so that you can walk in freedom. And so we're going to continue forward into verse 11, where Paul says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way in the life of Judaism, how I intensely persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among people and was zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me to his grace, was pleased to reveal his son so that I might preach among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. And so Paul kind of goes in here to explain, like, he says very clearly what he's writing about. He's very clear, like, you've been preached this false gospel. But then Paul makes a really important distinction, right, about his gospel not being Paul's gospel, but being Christ's gospel, right? And he's like, I didn't make this up, right? Like, I didn't wake up one day and decide, I'm going to just tell you guys all these lies. But this is actually something the Lord called me into, right? And the distinction that Paul's making here is that, like, he, of anyone, was not qualified to be talking about this, right? Like, Paul basically was one of these Judaizers not that long ago. Like, he says, like, I lived in the life of Judaism, right? I lived in this life of obeying the Mosaic laws, of that being the way, and that if anyone said to me, like, hey, Christ is the way, he would be the one that persecuted them. Like, he was the one that caused this penalty for these things. So he's like, it can't be from me, right? This transformation that I've had, this change in my life, right? It's bigger than myself. It's bigger than what I could have ever done for myself. And that's where the truth lies. And I think this is a really important distinction, because a lot of times in our lives, like, we can start to look inward for our own salvation, and we can start looking to other people or ourselves and be like, all right, this is going to be where I get my salvation from. Sometimes you might even hear someone say to you, like, hey, like, I was reading about, for example, like, David in the Bible, and I want to be like David. Well, David also did a lot of things that we probably shouldn't replicate, right? Like, he stole somebody's wife, and then he murdered that person's husband. Like, he did all these things that, like, arguably, we shouldn't replicate, right? And so any human being that we're looking to and being like, I'm going to try and replicate them, they're flawed. And Paul's saying, it's God who revealed his son to me, right? Jesus. And so God revealing his son, Jesus, he's the example we get to look to, right? He's the one who transforms us. He's the example we look to. And he ends off his letter by saying, he explains a little bit about his life, and then he says, I was personally unknown to the churches in Judea that are in Christ. So he's saying, like, nobody knew who I was before this. They never talked, my name wasn't known. Like, they just knew me as, like, Paul who persecuted people. But they only heard this report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith that he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. And so this is kind of going to be the theme throughout Paul's letter of the Galatians as we go through it. And it's that the gospel is transformational, right? Works are not transformational, right? You can get up every single day and read your Bible and pray and, like, be a good person, and it will never change your life. Right, you guys have probably felt that way, where you've done something good, but in your heart, you're like, I don't really care. Like, I read my Bible, but, like, it hasn't made any difference. I don't feel any different. I don't feel like a better person. And what Paul's saying here is, like, you're not. These Judaizers are telling you to do all these things, but they're not going to make you feel more Christian. They're not going to make you feel closer to God. What's going to make you closer to God is surrendering to God. It's actually inaction. It's actually doing nothing. And that doing these acts and these works, like, Christ died on the cross because these were never good enough, right? We have a whole Old Testament to prove time and time again that our actions aren't good enough. And so Paul is like, they praised God not because I did anything. They weren't praising God when I was out persecuting Christians, for sure. They praised God actually when they found out that I surrendered to him and began to be transformed by him. And so the real gospel here that Paul is trying to get them to understand, it's not a gospel of works. It's not a gospel of being a good person. It's not even a gospel of knowing the Bible that well. Like, there are people who know the Bible inside out and backwards and don't believe any of it. But the gospel is a transformation, right? It's a transformational process. And it's enough. It doesn't need to be added to, subtracted to. The gospel is what it is. It might seem simple, but it's enough. And so as we kind of explore Galatians, we're going to kind of see that theme. And so the question I want to pose to you today, and we'll spend some time, I have like paper and pens over there if you want to journal about it, or if you guys want to like get into groups and discuss about it. What is something in your life that you feel like you've been striving to achieve, whether it's like being seen as a good person, whether it's being closer to God, and what does it look like to surrender that very striving, that very work to God and allow him to transform it? So I'll repeat it one more time. What is something in your life right now that you feel like you've been striving to achieve? Anything. And what would it look like to surrender that to God and allow him to transform it? I'll give you guys some time to think about that. You guys can go discuss in groups or whatever you want.